World leaders gathered in Switzerland at the weekend dedicated to setting out a path towards peace between Ukraine and Russia. More than 100 countries and organisations gathered, Taoiseach Simon Harris among them. Russia was not invited and its biggest backer, China, was not present. At the summit, Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky said that Russia and its leadership was not ready for a just peace, but that talks could begin tomorrow if they left Ukraine's legal territory. So how effective was this summit in charting a way forward? Let's talk to James Waterhouse. He's the BBC News Ukraine reporter. James, it was high powered. We had most of the big world players or their representatives. They deliver significant political and diplomatic firepower. So what happened over those 2 days?
You're right. I think this was undoubtedly a high stakes event for President Zelensky and Ukraine. Now, out of those countries and organisations you mentioned, around 78 signed a final communique, essentially backing up President Zelensky's own terms for peace, which essentially include the complete withdrawal of Russian forces and for Moscow to pay reparations for the damage it has caused, as well as for the control of the nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia to be returned to Kyiv's control. And there are notable absentees from the signatures at the end, including China, as you say, including Saudi Arabia, South Africa, India, all countries which have economic ties with Russia and have historically been quite apathetic in regards to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So the signatories are sizable. They include heavyweight countries, if you want to phrase it like that. But I don't think you'll see Vladimir Putin feeling the political pressure yet. I mean, Moscow's called the meeting a waste of time, and he even outlined his own maximalist terms for peace last week, including the complete control for Ukrainian troops to withdraw from the four regions that he has occupied territory in, despite not having the control of any, for sanctions to be relaxed, and only then could a ceasefire take place. So you can see the polarizing stances from both parties, but I think the difficult battlefield for Ukraine, and as Saudi Arabia suggested, a difficult compromise could well be on the horizon.
So, you know, why is it that we get a country like Saudi Arabia? They're there, and their foreign minister was talking about any credible process requiring Russian participation and saying we hope the outcome of the summit reflects those aims. You had the UAE there as well, warning that the outlook remained bleak if you can't bring the war to negotiated settlement, and yet they demur when it comes to being party to the communique.
Yes, I mean, I think, and President Zelensky has tried to get on top of this. He had conceded that he could have better engaged countries on the African continent as well as in the Middle East because of the very words we are hearing from those nations coming out of this meeting. You know, I remember being in Dubai a couple of months ago around the time of the Crocus City Hall shooting in Russia, the terrorist attack. And there are Russian flags everywhere. It is somewhere where Russians go on holiday. It is somewhere where Russians have business investments, where they work. It is a different world view to the one that Ukraine and its Western allies look through. And this is what Russia is relying on when it comes to trying to garner support for its continued invasion. And so I think President Zelensky would have expected this, but it's China really that I think he was hoping to get to, because whilst they're not directly supplying lethal aid for Moscow's invasion, they are providing electronic software for the missiles and weaponry used. They are buying Russian gas, and they are providing cars and strengthening economic ties in just about every way. And that directly hinders Western sanctions and fuels the war machine. But it's a big step, but I think those countries are expecting Russia to be at the table for the next event, where this communique will be presented to Moscow. Whether that happens, we don't yet know.
My next question to you, where to from here? Is there a round two?
Well, yes. I mean, that is a sincere hope, I think, from the majority of nations at this peace summit in Switzerland. But then, you know, what happens then? You have this huge global delegation. Russia is effectively told, look, you must completely withdraw. But I wonder in private, do any of these world leaders truly believe that Vladimir Putin will say, OK, I've heard you out. I will find some guarantees from alternative sources to get what I want out of this war? That just won't happen. You know, he does not have a reverse gear with this full-scale invasion. And I think what is more likely to cause Russia to make a compromise, unlike Ukraine, is the battlefield to dramatically turn against it, for Western sanctions to perhaps finally bite and hinder Russia's economy, which is only growing at the moment, mainly because it's on such a war footing, or a change of regime in Russia. All of these things are far less likely than Ukraine having to compromise in the near term.
For now, James Waterhouse of the BBC, thank you. 13 minutes to 8.